The gospel reading for today is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and it is on page 1497 in your pew Bibles. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of Jews? We saw his star, and it went and rose, and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all of the people's chief priests, the teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among rulers of Judea. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." When Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report back to me, so that I too may worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen went and rose ahead of them until it stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures to present him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Gracious and loving God, we ask that you would help us to see how you are the light, guiding the way. Bless the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart, that they may be pleasing to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So for Christmas, my mom got Simon one of those little projector things that you can put in your room that has a light that brights out. They put these little things on top, and you can see the stars in your room. And I think, isn't it like on a timer? It doesn't make sound, does it? It doesn't make any sound. But it's quite beautiful. We plugged in, my mom got it. I'm like, "Oh, who cares about that? Oh, that's how." And then we plugged it in, and I was like, "Oh, this is amazing. It's incredible." It's kind of like a disco ball in your room. But it's beautiful. And then I had this thought when they did that, when she got that and we turned it on, I thought about, when was the last time I went out on a clear night and saw the stars? I used to love looking at the stars, and I cannot tell you the last time that I went out and looked at the stars and really took them in. Because there really isn't much like it. Because when you look at that clear night and you see their star, you can lose yourself in the overwhelming majesty of the cosmos. And it's better when you're out in the country, right, with minimal light pollution, where you can see the universe open before you like a beautiful piece of art created by a master at the height of their powers. There's no fireworks, no Christmas light show that can even begin to rival its scope and scale. Now, we modern people, as I just said, we don't often take advantage or the opportunity to see this daily display of God's handiwork, because we're often distracted by much lesser lights of screens in our homes. before electricity conquered the world, it would have been hard to ignore the splendor of the night sky. And humans, since their existence, have been looking up into the stars, studying their patterns and movements, and oftentimes we're looking for answers or omens in their shifting celestial cycles. Now, I don't think there's many of us in here that believe your lives are determined by the alignment of the stars. Not many of us. My mom gets real big into that. She loves, well, this planet's lined up with this planet, Gray, so you better check out here. Okay, gotcha. But studying the stars has led us to discover the endless complexity and diversity of the universe. And we have learned patterns and the laws of space, the logic of how gases and matter interact. And we have known these patterns for thousands of years. Anyone who has studied astronomy knows that the stars, like nature here on Earth, follow predictable patterns, predictable paths. There is a consistency, a logic to what is occurring up there in the night sky. So when there's a deviation, when there's a meteor, a comet, any change in the pattern, it is obvious to anybody who knows the stars. Now the Magi were the people who would have taken notice. They knew the ins and outs of the night sky, so when this new star appeared in Judea, they knew it did not fit with the usual patterns they had seen time and time again. Something had changed. Its appearance had defied logic. It defied the laws of space as they knew it. So what do you do? What do any of us do when we discover something that defies everything we thought we knew about the world? Everything that we had put into our brains, how the world made sense, and something comes along and changes it. Well, these Magi did what any, I think, normal person would do. They went to their local bar. Pint of Persia, y'all ever heard of it? And they started drinking. No, that's not what they did. No, they did not do that. Though I do think that there is something to that idea. No, they, instead of denying the reality of this, of what this was, because when something like that happens in your life, you see something that defies logic, you either can deny it and just live in denial, or you can say, hey, I'm going to investigate this. I'm going to seek out some knowledge. And that's what they do. They go to seek out knowledge, the knowledge of others, knowledge outside of their own tradition, knowledge outside of their own religion, even. The Magi knew they were not going to be able to figure this out on their own. So they go to King Herod, who was the ruler over Judea, to see what he knew about this illogical and law-defying star and what it meant for Israel. The Magi suspected the star signaled a special birth in the land of Judea. Now you may remember that during that time, it was usual that events would occur in the sky for those people who are already in powerful positions. People like Caesar Augustus. The reports were when he was born, portents and omens filled the sky. Right? So the Magi, knowing these stories, go to the most powerful person in Judea, King Herod. They go to him first because they assumed that the special birth would have been Herod's kid. They go, well, Herod, congratulations, you're having a baby boy. And Herod's like, what's that again? What's that? I don't have any kids. And Herod was not excited, because Herod knew that this was a threat to him. He knew that there was a challenger out there. And we forget how political this story is when we read it during Christmas. Herod was not what the Jews would have considered a legitimate king. He had overthrown the previous dynasty, the Hasmoneans, which had started back all the way back into the Maccabean revolt of Israel, way back 100 years previous. And Herod was going to use any means necessary to stop anybody from challenging him from the throne. So in order to uncover this new threat, Herod brings his brain trust together, the chief priests, the scribes, and they rediscover the Jewish tradition of the Messiah. This is kind of a crazy part of the story, right? It takes these guys who aren't Jewish to come in and help the scribes and the Pharisees remember where the Messiah is going to come from. It's this crazy part of the story. And they go, hey, Herod, I'm sure the Messiah was born in Bethlehem. That's what Scripture says. And we reread it and we figured it out. And so Herod dispatches the Magi to go as unknowing spies so that he may be able to destroy that threat to his throne. So the wise men go, not knowing what they're going to find at the end of the star, having no clue what is in store for them. Now, the star, of course, defies logic. As you heard Christy reading it here, the star appears to actually move as they are going towards Bethlehem. It actually, like, they actually literally can follow it. The star moves with them and stops over Joseph and Mary's home. Remember, in Matthew, Joseph and Mary actually lived in Bethlehem, which is very different than Luke. What incredible faith, though. Incredible humbleness the Magi had to possess to follow this star. Because these were men of logic. These were men who knew the patterns of the stars. These were men that they knew everything. They thought they had the stars figured out, and here is the star that defies everything. And they go, well, I guess we have to go follow it. We have to see what God is doing there, even though it makes no sense to our world. So they go into unknown territory, territory that could be dangerous for them and ends up being very dangerous for them. But they went anyway, trusting their intuition, trusting that they had more to learn, trusting that there was more to the world than their own knowledge and wisdom. And that day, these Magi moved on from what they thought they knew about the stars, about God, about human knowledge, and simply allowed themselves to be led by God. And their journey ended in worship, with the Magi kneeling in homage to the Savior child and offering gifts. The Magi show us that faith is not complacent or stagnant. Faith is about taking risks, seeking out unfamiliar territory in order to find where God is working. It's a willingness to be wrong, a willingness to be challenged, a willingness to leave behind what you think you know, and a willingness to see the mystery in the stars. Now, we spend a lot of time in our lives trying to eliminate mystery, don't we? We're all very rational people, and we like to dissect things and figure it out until we are 100% right. Anne got tickets to go see the new Aladdin Broadway show when it came to Columbus, and there was this, we had this obsession with the flying carpet in the Broadway show, okay? And there's literally a flying carpet in the show. There's no strings, and we were obsessed. We're like, we have to know how that magic carpet flies. And we're going to investigate every YouTube rabbit hole until we figure it out, which is what we did. We could not leave the mystery alone. And by the way, Disney has not released how they do it. They don't want you to know. They don't want you to know, right, Katie? Because why? They want you to have some mystery when you go in there. They don't want you to know how they do it because it's miraculous. It's amazing. I think we figured it out though, right now. But that's what our minds do. We don't want to leave mysteries unsolved. We don't want to allow God to work in the mysterious. We have to dissect everything. And we leave no room for God to surprise us. We leave no room for God to start working in new and exciting ways in our life when all we're trying to do is rationalize everything. This is not faith. Dare to live out your faith like the Magi. One of courage, humbleness, openness to the wonder and majesty of God. Never allow yourself to look up into the beautiful starry night and rationalize the beauty presented to you there. Be willing to be amazed. Be willing to be surprised. Be willing to seek out the mystery we call faith. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.